Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep. Denizens of the night, welcome to another episode of the macabre, the terrifying. Tonight, we'll have a seat next to a distressed parent on a park bench. You're probably thinking, that doesn't sound very scary. It sounds more sad, actually. And in a way, it is. But what if I told you that, against all odds, parent and child were reunited? You would rejoice, right? But then, what if I told you that the child that returned to them was not quite the same one that they lost? This story is called Miscreation, and was written by A.G. Hilton.
He was perfect. Perfect in every way. Oh, I didn't see you there. Guess I was thinking out loud. Am I bothering you? I can leave. Oh, well, you're very kind. Please, sit if you want. I see most of the other benches are occupied. I should probably get going in a minute anyways. Have to get back to the family. Just needed some time to think on things. Get some fresh air, you know? Actually, can I ask you something? I don't want to be a bother, but I've had a lot going on, and I've not spoken a word about it outside the house. It seems crazy, holding on to something like this, but... you're just trying to enjoy your day. You sure you don't mind if I stay a bit longer? Thanks. Really, I'll get out of your hair soon. Anyway, what I wanted to ask you was this. Do you believe in miracles? I know. It's a weird way to start a conversation. I'm not really religious these days. I haven't really thought about them in a while. Miracles, I mean. But I think we all hope for them, you know? Like when you're sick and not likely to get better. Or maybe it's less dramatic. Maybe you're just after a job you really desperately need but aren't likely to get. What we want in those situations is a kind of miracle, right? A little bending of the rules of life, just this once. And maybe stuff like that works out sometimes. Maybe you get that job you're severely underqualified for. Or maybe that mass on your brain starts to shrink despite the dire projections. Hell, don't some people throw around words like miraculous recovery all the time? But those kinds of things don't seem completely out of the realm of possibility. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting down the unlikely victories in life. But people get sick, and they sometimes get better. Sometimes opportunities present themselves in unlikely circumstances. It's not unheard of. I guess what I'm really asking is, if you believe that really strange things are possible, things beyond any explanation, and if you do, what do you think you would do if you experienced something like that firsthand? I used to think, it just sounds so crazy when I go to say it out loud. What? You say you've seen some crazy things? Maybe you have. but I've got a feeling that if I told you what I've seen lately, well, if you don't think I'm crazy now, maybe you will by the time I'm through. I've been wondering if I got more than a few screws loose. That's why I came out here. I just wanted to sit in the sun for a while, be around other people, get some perspective, just not be in the house. I got a wife at home and a kid. Had a kid, I guess. We named him Tyler. If I'm honest with you, I wasn't really sold on the whole fatherhood thing. Maybe it's a shitty thing to say, but I wasn't ready for us to be tied down yet. But my wife and I had been together for a long while, since way back in high school, and she felt it was the time. But when I saw her holding him in that hospital room, all that changed. You have kids? If so, you know what I mean. It's wild what that one moment can do. What I felt then, I'd never felt for anything or anyone the things I did toward that little pink face and tuft of dark hair. Not ever. He was perfect. Maybe that's a miracle right there. Sounds weird, but all I could think was that he was us. Anne and I came together, and now here's this new person. I guess you can already see where this is going. The crazy thing is, I think a part of me knew where it was going as far back as that hospital room. Because mixed in with the love and joy was a subtle and profound terror like I'd never felt. Could be a me thing. I'm given to anxiety, always have been. But just on the heels of the happiness came this profound awareness of how fragile this new life was. God, I remember holding him that first time. He was just so small. It felt like the slightest thing might shatter him. To tell the truth, I almost couldn't stand to hold him for long that first time. All I could think about was dropping him with my clumsy hands. Now, I wish I'd let that moment last. I bet you're thinking we got some bad news after that. That's another one of those things you hear about, right? Child's born, seems fine, but comes up with some unforeseen disorder or gets sick? Nope, nothing like that. My boy was as healthy as could be. Just perfect as perfect could be. Took him home, and the times that followed were some of the happiest I can remember. But I never got rid of that nagging anxiety. Anne stepped out one day. Tyler had become her world, but I knew she needed a break. She was gone for no more than an hour. Just a quick drive out for some peace and to grab a treat. It's amazing what can happen in that span. Entire worlds can shift in so short a time. See, Tyler was down in his crib, just dozing peacefully. I stepped to the kitchen to do some dishes, kept the baby monitor there on the counter. Couldn't have been gone for 10 or 15 minutes, and not a peep on the monitor. But something told me I needed to go look in on him right then. So I finished the dishes. I mean, what hurry was there? He was just down in his crib. And then I stuck my head in. What struck me was that he had moved, and somehow I hadn't noticed. He'd been lying on his back when I left, and when I came in, he was on his stomach. But as I reached for him, something just didn't feel right. Then I turn him over, and he's blue. Just like his face was a giant bruise. He'd stopped breathing. But I was ready. My nagging anxiety had me reading stuff about infant CPR and all the rest ever since we brought him home. I immediately jumped into action, got emergency services on the line, and even though I'm not religious these days, you bet your ass I was praying for a miracle the whole time. Didn't matter. Not any of it. Instead of a little fragile bundle of life, I found myself tending to a cooling lump. The ambulance beat Anne home by a minute or two, When she pulled in the driveway, our growing family was back to square one. I've never felt anything so pointless before. Just a cosmic dead end. And I still don't really understand what happened. Say, why are you listening to all this? Morbid curiosity? I wouldn't blame you. Or maybe you're a true believer. Maybe you're looking for a miracle of your own. Or maybe you're still waiting to see what this has to do with miracles. Well, all right. If the time just after Tyler's birth was some gold-tinted dream, the past month has been the exact opposite. Cold, empty, barren. A chasm opened up in my life. I fell into a despondent haze, cut off from everyone, even from my wife. Maybe especially from her. See, Anne never came out and said she blamed me for what happened, but sometimes it's more about what people do than what they say. Sure, maybe she didn't outright say anything, but the distant look in her eye, the subtle turning away, the times I'd wake up and find her side of the bed empty, they all spoke for themselves. I'm not ashamed to say how pissed off it made me at one point, but at the same time, I understood. She left the house, and she came back to a dead kid. After all, wasn't I the one there? Wasn't it my job to make sure something like this didn't happen? I can't tell you how often I'd find myself drifting away while at work, thinking about how it all could be so different. I thought we were going to call it quits. In fact, that seemed inevitable. It's like all the prior history between us didn't matter anymore. This one bad turn blackened everything around it. Our relationship seemed to rot at the root. But this is where we come to the point of my story. One day last week, Anne went out for some air. Figured she was going to walk on the trails near our neighborhood. Well, she's not gone for long before the weather turns sour really fast. Rain starts coming down. I'm calling her. She's not answering. I've got my coat on, and I'm about to go out after her when she comes busting in the front door. And she's holding something. I wasn't sure what was happening. One minute I was alone. The next, and she's there, and she's soaked, and holding this bundle of dirty blankets. And she was shaking. About then, I saw the redness in her eyes. And I realized that her face wasn't wet with rain, but tears. Then she started babbling and fretting over these ratty blankets, and it was like she couldn't hear me trying to ask her what's the matter or what she's holding. Then I hear it. It was a little cooing kind of sound, and it made my heart leap, but it also made my blood freeze, because I start thinking, I know that sound. It was the same little noise as I heard when I first held Tyler. I don't mean it sounded like some generic baby babbling. I mean it sounded like him. Exactly like him. I don't know how to explain it. Finally, Anne starts to calm down, and my words start getting through to her. I still can't comprehend what I'm hearing, so I ask again, "What is that?" And she shows me. I'll never forget the feeling I had when she started peeling back those old blankets. It felt somewhere between the giddiness of a kid opening a package on Christmas morning and the dread of approaching the open casket at my first funeral. Hell, I almost screamed at her to stop. But I didn't. I think in the end, I wanted to see. They say, seeing is believing, right? It's another one of those phrases that just gets thrown around mindlessly. A cliche at best. And I don't think it's true either. Because when she pulled back the blankets, I stood there and stared, but I still couldn't believe it. There was a child in the bundle, rain-streaked and shivering. It didn't have that pink complexion I'd known. It was so pale. But that tuft of dark hair was the same. So was the little button nose, the lips. I mean, it was him. It was the spitting image of my little boy. Then it was my turn to babble. The questions just started pouring out. What's going on? Where did you get this baby? On and on like that. She says she found him. Like just found him there along the path. She saw the tangle of blankets in a thicket, heard crying, and there he was. So I press on with the questions. I tell her, we've got to go to someone. He's obviously been dumped, and who knows what might be going on. I tell her we need to get him medical treatment. She won't hear any of it. Can't you see? Can't you see what this is? I remember her asking. She held the baby so tightly against her that I thought she might smother it. It's a gift. It's a miracle. Our boy has come back to us. I think I must have looked at her the same way you're looking at me now. Don't get me wrong, the resemblance wasn't lost on me. I mean, aside from that pallor, it genuinely looked like it could be Tyler's lost twin. But that's crazy, right? And I think I probably said just that. But she didn't think so. No, she looked at me like I was the one out of my mind. So I tried to walk it back. I tell her I'm just flustered, but it's too late. When I reach out and try to have one more look for myself, she pulls the baby close and turns away. Then she takes the kid and goes to the nursery. I hear the door close, and then I'm just standing there, reeling from it all. I wasn't really sure what to do to tell the truth. Hell, what are you supposed to do in a situation like that? Maybe I should have called someone then? But I didn't know what Anne might do, to be honest. In the end, I figured at least the kid, whoever's kid it was, would be safe and indoors. I told myself in the morning things would be clearer and that Anne would come to her senses. So I just settled in and tried, unsuccessfully, to get some sleep while I struggled to wrap my mind around to everything. Speaking of Anne, she didn't come to bed that night. I guess that's not a shock. When I got up the next morning, the whole thing almost seemed like a distant dream. But then seeing Anne's side of the bed empty brought it all back. I'd slept in longer than I meant to on account of the restless night, and I was going to be late to work. I hadn't exactly been focused or punctual in the weeks after we lost Tyler. And though the company had been understanding at first, I knew I couldn't afford to be in hot water with them, so I was rushing, trying to get ready and calling out Anne's name. But I didn't hear a peep. Finally, I'm about to walk out the door, and I go looking for her. She's nowhere to be seen, and the nursery door is still shut. I gotta admit that I started to lose it at that. I remember that flare of anger, white hot in my chest, as I reached for the handle and meant to barge in to confront her. The handle turned easily enough, but the door didn't budge. See, this shouldn't have been possible. When I told you I was anxious bringing Tyler home, I meant it. I took the lock off that door, so there'd be no chance of it somehow swinging closed and locking when he was down in his crib. The only thing I could figure is that the door had been wedged shut and that Anne had fortified herself in there with the baby. Now, there was a lot of shouting from me. I banged on the door and don't remember what all I yelled, but I guess it was nasty stuff about how she was crazy and how we had to go to the authorities about the kid. I was scared, to be honest. The whole thing, it just unnerved me. And seeing that she'd locked herself in there, that was the cherry on top. Anyways, the whole time she's shouting back at me through the door saying, I knew you would be like this. You want to hurt him. Why can't you just accept that we've been given another chance? In the end, I just left. I mean, shit. What was knocking the door down going to accomplish? And maybe it was all hot air anyways. Like the night before, I could have called someone. I could have told them my wife picked up someone's kid and was convinced it was her son. But I didn't. I mean, it was Anne, for Christ's sake. My Anne. There's no one I trust more than her. I couldn't accept the thought of her losing it, and I didn't want her to be in any trouble. That's what I told myself anyways. But maybe I wanted it to be true more than I realized at the time. I mean, what if it was a real, bona fide miracle? Probably goes without saying, but work was miserable that day. I did my best to keep up appearances. Last thing I wanted was for people to ask questions or get nosy. But still, I had people coming by the cubicle asking if I was all right. Guess I couldn't hide my distraction. How the hell could I think of work? All I wanted was to get back home and figure this mess out. When I got back home, Anne was still cloistered in the nursery. I expected as much. I told her through the door that I was sorry for the way I'd acted that morning, and that I'd picked up some food from a taco place she loves. Told her I'd leave hers out if she wanted it, or put it in the fridge, and left it at that. She didn't say anything back. After maybe 15 minutes of eating alone at the dining room table, she appeared in the doorway. The thing I remember most was how tired she looked. Unusually pale, with the beginnings of dark circles under her eyes. Figured she stayed up all night worrying about the baby. I invited her to join me, and there was some apprehension. Man, that hurt. But I understood after my outburst, and I tried to be patient. To tell you the truth, it felt like trying to coax a stray with some food. But after a moment of looking back toward the nursery, she sat down and devoured what I brought for her. I mean that, too. She ate like she hadn't been fed in days. For all I knew, maybe she never left the nursery even while I was gone. I ended up giving her some of my food, and I think she could have kept going. After the food, I finally broached the subject. What to do about the little foundling? I insisted we take the baby into the authorities. What if he's been kidnapped? I asked. Hell, what if we get slapped with kidnapping for holding on to him? If anything, we need to take him somewhere so he can get checked out. What if the kid has medical problems that needed attention? Anne just sat there quietly as I went over my rehearsed points. When I was done, she looked me square in the eye. "He's ours," she said. "He came to us. He was sent back to us. He is Tyler. I won't have him taken away again." About that time, a small cry came from the direction of the nursery. Anne rose, and I matched her. She looked at me like a wounded animal wary of a predator, inching toward the door behind her. "Let me have another look at him. He's got to be starving. Don't we need to buy formula?" "I'm feeding him," she said. The words hung there between us, and I felt this weird twist of anxiety in my gut. See, Anne had issues producing with Tyler. We had to look into some feeding alternatives. I think it really tore her up, to tell the truth. But now? Well, to be honest, I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. And before I could really process what she'd said, more cries came from the nursery, and she turned to go. "Wait," I said. "Can I please come with you and see him?" She stood there in the doorway, back to me, as if contemplating. Then, without looking back, she said, "Not until you're ready to believe." I'm ashamed how quick the lie came to my lips. I told her that I did believe. I said that it would help me just to see him. And it wasn't entirely untrue. I remembered that little face and the uncanny resemblance. I couldn't just believe our boy had come back to us in the flesh, but I was finding that I sure as hell wanted to. Anne didn't say anything for a minute. The baby's cries grew a little higher pitched. I thought maybe I'd gotten through to her, but part of me still wrestling with what she said next. She said, "You don't believe. And until you do, you're a danger. I won't." But then she left, the thought hanging there, unfinished. I think I went back and just sat staring at the remains on my plate for a while, her words knocking around in my head. I came up with so many ends to her last sentence, none flattering to me. Remember how I said Anne never came out and said she thought what happened with Tyler was my fault? I think this was the closest that idea came to breaking the surface, and it killed me. I didn't go to bed that night. Sure, I went through all the motions, but I knew I'd be getting no sleep. I called out of work, said I'd gotten a bad virus that had been going around and might need the rest of the week. They weren't happy, but I think me acting so off the last time I was in the office actually helped my case. Anyways, after I'd done my usual nighttime routine, I snuck back to the couch in the darkened living room and waited. At one point, I started to doze, but the creak of the nursery door brought me fully awake. I heard tentative footsteps, another creak, which I knew was the bathroom door, and then the hum of the bathroom fan turning on. Soon as I heard the fan, I got up and went as quietly as I could to the nursery. The door was open, and I heard those all too familiar cooing sounds coming from within. Moonlight spilled in through the window, and I saw him there. It took my breath away. There he was, just like I remembered. And he didn't look so pale anymore. That little pink color I knew so well was coming back into his cheeks. And when he saw me, he grinned the biggest little toothless grin you've ever seen. When he smiled at me, all my questions seemed to leave. I just stood there, cooing back at him and holding out my fingers for him to grab at. I never heard her come in, so when Anne said, "He remembers you," I had to stifle a shout. So many half-formed questions came to me, but all of them died away as I turned to her. "Now do you understand?" she asked. I just grabbed her and held her to me, and I was shocked when she reciprocated. More questions started pouring out then. I had no clue about what we should do going forward. But she hushed me and told me we would figure it out. We'd just lay low for a little while. But she said this was meant to be, and that it would all work out in the end. We just had to believe. I wanted to believe. There was just one thing that bothered me. One little crack in my new faith. As I gave Anne a final squeeze, she flinched. When she stepped back, I remember her hand rising absently to her breast. "Are you okay?" I asked. She smiled at me and said she was fine, just sore from feeding. Then, like on cue, the baby started fussing. Anne swept him up, saying he might be hungry, that he gets hungry at night. I asked her what I could do to help. I told her I could sit up and watch him when she was done if she wanted some rest. But she declined me, gently, and I relented. After all, don't they say mother knows best? The next couple days felt like waking up and realizing that what you thought was your life had just been an unpleasant dream. It seemed like we had truly experienced no loss. How could Tyler have died? Here he was, just as hearty and hale as anyone could want. Since I'd called out of work, I just stayed with Anne and Tyler. She was still protective over him, but I was content to let them have their space while I did yard work and found myself completing forgotten projects I'd never gotten around to in the past month. I remember the sunshine feeling warmer and brighter those days. Anne was so happy, and after the dark times we'd been through, that was reward in itself. But something still bothered me. Actually, it was Anne. Despite a lessening of the tension between us, she was looking more and more exhausted, her cheeks too pale. I'd look at the dark circles under her eyes and offer again and again to stay up with the baby so she could rest, but again and again she refused. That brings us to last night. See, last night I saw something, and, well, I'm not sure where to start. You know, despite not being much of a believer now, I grew up with my folks taking me to Sunday school. You grew up like that, you hear all kinds of wild stories, plenty about miracles. I haven't thought about all that stuff in years, and until recently, it never struck me how encountering something like that in real life might be, well, not as clean and neat as you might think. I mean, say we're talking about something truly astounding, like coming back from the dead. Who's to say what that would be like if you really witnessed it? Getting off in the weeds again, aren't I? Look at that. My hands have the shakes. Better get on with it. Last night I woke up and Anne wasn't in the bed. She'd finally gotten comfortable with not being with Tyler 24/7 and finally stopped spending all night up and awake. That's what she said. She was really starting to worry me. Just didn't seem well. So I was thrilled when she finally decided to let herself rest. She still got up regularly to check on him. She didn't trust the baby monitor, and I couldn't disagree. At one point, I suggested we just move the crib into our room for a while, but she turned the idea down. Said it didn't bother her to get up, that she liked her quiet time with Tyler in the night. For all my worrying, I'm a heavy sleeper once I'm down for the count, so I never really stirred when she would get up. I'm not sure why I woke up last night, but something told me to go check on the two of them. I made my way to the nursery, not trying to be sneaky, but I must have been quiet enough because she didn't turn when I first entered. Anne was sitting in a rocker by the window. She looked so hollow, but the moonlight also took away the shadows. She looked like pristine porcelain. And her eyes had this haunted, far-off look as she kept them fixed on the window. It was beautiful in its way, but it gave me the prickles. I'd never been so mystified looking at someone. Maybe that image struck me because it contrasted so much with what came next. She still hadn't seen me, but she shifted the bundle against her breast, and some of the blanket dropped away. Little Tyler lay against her, suckling. But something wasn't right. His mouth, it just didn't look normal. He was latched, but not in a way you've ever seen a baby latch. His mouth was too round, too wide. It just encompassed too much, and it pulsed in a way that made me think of a leech. Anne looked up then. I could tell she was startled, and she stood suddenly. Guess the motion startled Tyler too, because he started this high-pitched keening noise. Wasn't like anything I'd ever heard from him before, and when he started it, he turned his face toward me. And that's when I saw it. His mouth was wrong. I couldn't really believe it. I mean, Anne had finally let me hold him. I'd seen him up close, touched him, smelled him even. I can't make you understand just how much I was convinced that this really was Tyler. Our Tyler. Whether that makes any logical sense or not. But at that moment, the only word that came to mind was thing. Because his mouth was too big, too rounded, and, God help me, full of little teeth all around the edges. Blood trickled down out of that mouth. Anne's breast? Well, there was a bloody encirclement around her nipple. Like those little needle teeth had burrowed into her as he suckled. Suddenly, all I could think about is how tired she'd been and how pale. And I just stood there with my own mouth hanging wide open. Everything after that is a blur. I remember her coming toward me and me taking equal steps back. She was talking to me, but I couldn't hear her. All I could do was stare at that thing in her arms. She was saying something about how I shouldn't be scared, how she knew I wouldn't understand. And as she came toward me, Tyler looked like his usual self again. He cried softly and held out his hands toward me. I didn't want to take him, take it. But Anne pressed him to me. I just can't explain the feeling of confusion that filled me then. Because he was looking up at me, and when he was pressed into my arms, the feeling of his pulsing life almost drove away the image of what I'd just seen. Almost. See the way he looks at you? Anne said. He loves you. He's told me he wanted to come back to you. Can't you see that? Who knows how any of this works? Maybe this is just the way it has to be for that to happen. Is it really too much to ask? Too much for having our son again? My mouth started going, but nothing came out. All I could do was stare at Anne and that dark spot on the portion of shirt over her breast. I mean, there was no question, right? I had seen what I'd seen. And I swear, I saw it just like I said. But something in her words rang true. Something about holding him in that moment made me realize that this was our Tyler. He'd been sent back to us. I couldn't explain it. Couldn't explain why he was changed. But somehow, some way, I finally knew, no, understood, right then and there, that Anne was right. After all, who am I to question a divine action? Anyways, by the time all this was over and done with, I realized night was tipping toward morning. Told Anne I needed to go out, get some exercise, think. She let me leave without trying to stop me. But she stood there in the window overlooking the driveway with Tyler in her arms. She held him and pointed at me and waved, as if trying to get Tyler to do the same. And it looked so right. I keep thinking of that image of them in the window. That's been the main thing on my mind since I sat down here. Speaking of which, probably time I get going. I think that's about enough sitting and thinking. I appreciate you listening, friend. Going back over everything helped me settle some things in my mind. What's that look for? Told you that you'd think I was crazy by the end. But then I reckon anyone who's seen a true blue miracle might be a little off-center. After all, who knows what a brush with the divine might feel like. Everybody wants a little bite of divinity, but no one ever stops to wonder how it might taste, if you take my meaning. At least, that's how I feel now. You can think what you want. I gotta leave now. I think I better start helping Anne with the feeding. Be because I think I understand now that I am a recipient of a miracle and that I'm an incredibly lucky man. Got a wife at home and beautiful, living, breathing boy. And he's perfect. Perfect in every way.
Did you know that they call a horror story that begins and ends with the same line a horror-boros? Ha! No, not really. Just kidding. I can't stop thinking about this story, and here's why. You know I like horror with heart, right? By that, I mean that I enjoy stories with an emotional element to them. The girl who finds a friend in the voice from her air conditioning vent. The cadre of light-up guys who watch over children at carnivals, and so on. This story keyed into one of the most profound emotions humans can experience. Loss. Awash in loss and despair, our protagonist and his wife would do anything to relieve those feelings. The surface-level horror, a baby with a ring of sharp teeth, is relatively brief. But the psychological horror lingers on behind that closed nursery door. If you enjoyed this story, please check out more from A.G. Hilton in the playlist appearing on your screen shortly. Please also leave a like on this video and subscribe to hear more stories like this one. Let me know what you thought of this one in the comments below. Whatever you do, use your heart and your head, and don't fall asleep.